In the name of Jesus. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, his name was Saul, or especially later, Paul. And he was, if you will, at first, a poster child for everything that had gone wrong with the Jews. Of the tribe of Benjamin, like his namesake before him, of significantly Hellenized Tarsus in Cilicia, of Roman citizenship, of all things, Saul was one who had advanced in Judaism beyond many of his own age among his own people, so zealous was he for the traditions of the fathers. So zealous was he in life according to the teachings of the strictest party of the day, of the people of his day, the party of the Pharisees. Was Paul then in any way a friend of Rome, as a citizen of Rome? Was Saul at ease at all among the Hellenists? It's difficult to say. What can be said, however, is this. At a minimum, Saul was this. Saul was characteristic in so many ways of what Judaism had become in the first century. And Paul, Saul, was a model Pharisee. Was therefore everything about that, it seems, that was wrong with that. So much so, in fact, that by his own admission now, as a Pharisee now, Saul had been taught by Gamaliel, his own doctor father, had been taught, had believed, and had himself taught other seminarians and graduate students, had taught, in fact, that it was actually possible to live as an observant Jew apart from the law that ever and always accuses. Indeed, in the face of the emerging and flourishing Christian movement, who and where then was Saul? Right on the front lines was Saul. For Saul, it would seem, was chief officer of a secret police that really wasn't all that secret, whose singular purpose in life was to ferret out new Christians whenever and wherever they could be found, that the entire heretical sect of the way might be ruthlessly eliminated, extinguished, wiped from the face of the earth. The enemy of the way was he, was Saul, the enemy personified. So where, accordingly, was Saul in the event and circumstance of the martyrdom of Stephen, when they cast Stephen out of the city and stoned him? Where was he? Right there was he. For the witnesses of it all, record St. Luke, laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. There he was, giving approval to, certifying, even authorizing that day, Stephen's death. And where was he when a great persecution ensued against the churches in Jerusalem? Again, there he was Saul, ravaging the church, entering house after house, dragging off both men and women, breathing threats and murder, committing them to prison, doing whatever the job required. I persecuted the church of God violently, declares the later Paul, even as far as Damascus, and made it my goal, made it my mission in life to destroy them. For the Christian movement threatened all that was dear to me, declares Paul. That miserable band of pathetic persons intent on following after a dead and therefore accursed messianic pretender, they threatened us all. The story of Paul is a rather remarkable and ironic one, is it not? Christianity's nemesis, its most feared adversary, becomes in the end one of its most revered authorities. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, declares Paul, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, how did this happen? As Saul approached Damascus, records St. Luke, suddenly a light from heaven flashed about him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Owned then by the darkness that owned Jesus too for 3 days, owned by the darkness that owned Jesus' own followers for 3 days, Saul, a Pharisaic believer in the end-time resurrection of the dead now, Saul was confronted by the present reality of a kingdom, of a resurrection come. Was confronted then that he too might see. So immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was that very day baptized and took food and was strengthened. For several days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and in the synagogues immediately he proclaimed Jesus, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were understandably amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called on this name? And he has come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. The colloquized convert to the new faith was therefore initially bold in his confession and defense of it. Ready-made and ready-to-go apostle to the Gentiles, however, to the imperial world, that is, he was not, it seems, at least not immediately. For only after 3 years of additional, say, seminary instruction in the Arabian desert, where there was little, mind you, in the way of on-campus housing, decent food service, or recreational distraction, and actually only after roughly 10 additional years of initial and fairly limited service in the vicinity of Syria and Cilicia. Only then did Paul seem ready for his more public, more global, and more celebrated work, which came then, but later. This is just a fascinating story, is it not? It all amounts to a rather profound and mysterious biography, even now, does it not? Talk about a silk purse derived from a sow's ear. Enlisting one enemy, God thereby reaches out to another, that all the world might belong to him. Exceptional, is it not? Or is it? For does not our God even now enlist still others who also come with some of the most varied and colorful of biographies? Friends, brethren, I stand before you this day as graphic testimony to the fact that he certainly does. And you do too, don't you? At least many of you. Can it be that even today, in the service of the same crucified and risen Christ, in the service of the same prophetic and apostolic faith, still others will be given to glorify God, not only because of St. Paul, but even because of both me and you. Now, if God can do such things with Saul, the Pharisee, the enemy of the way, then just maybe you and I have a prayer as well. Just maybe there is hope for us all. The peace of the risen Christ be with you and with those entrusted to you always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.